Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to the McSauce Podcast.
Welcome to episode 356 of the McSauce Podcast. My name is Paul McGinty. With me, as always, are Ian, the Scarlet Sauce Sharpley.
Hello.
And Matt, the Vision of Beauty Casal.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. It is Monday night, January 18th, and tonight we're going to take a walk through the first two episodes of WandaVision, Marvel's first big budget foray into bringing the MCU into the small screen. Do you have something to say, Matt?
No.
Are you gonna save it?
No.
Before we talk about Wanda Maximoff and her sex robot vision, we do housekeeping with Ian Sharpley.
The home for sex robots, McSauce.com. You can find all your automated penises and
your real visions.
Yeah. You can find them there. Just go, McSauce.com. Check it out. You can talk to us about your encounters with said sex robots or chaos magic witches.
I'd need to customize them with a wig.
Customize?
I can't have a bald sex robot.
Who has a bald sex robot? Everybody has
different strokes, man.
Aren't they all bald?
Different
and then
strokes.
They just come
but,
with me.
Yeah,
wigs?
But then they come with wigs. I thought wigs were included or wigs were mandatory.
But Vision generally doesn't have, like, if you're getting a Vision sex robot, it's going to look like Vision, who doesn't have hair.
But then
I would need it with hair.
You could put the Vision at work hair on, that floppy mop.
No, I need.
What would you?
I need Wanda's hair.
Wanda's hair and Vision's
Tom Brady's hair.
Which year? Which year?
Well, this year because it started growing again 3 years ago.
Yes.
Those plants have really taken hold.
You can look at Tom Brady's luscious locks on our Instagram as well. Maybe we'll do some art of Tom Brady's hair, or
it'll just be a bald guy.
Sorry, you had to be there for the 2 hours of the show before the show. Sorry, everybody. But you know what? You can always hear some... pretty soon in the future, we're going to have some behind-the-scenes stuff on our Patreon.
What a great segue.
Yeah, if you...
A+.
If you donate $5, we will allow you to listen to the great...
We'll allow you...
to the great Patreon product that we've been putting out for this past year. We dive into some different kind of topics and give you special content on the Patreon. And if you give us that $5, we will give you, in return, your own special episode. We'll send you a survey, and you can fill out all the information there. And we will then give you back a specialized choose-your-own-adventure Patreon. I forget where my segue was going, though. After all of that, what were we talking about again?
I don't know. I think that's good.
You were just wrapping up housekeeping.
Yeah.
Okay. We're all wrapped then.
Housekeeping. McSauce Nation, go review us. Go rate and review us on your various podcast sources. Go on Apple. Go on Stitcher. Wherever you listen to stuff, rate and review us. I know you hear that on
pause right now and go do it. Right.
I remember. Because
if you guys don't pause right now, you know you're going to forget. So do it right now.
I remember what I was going to say. Because of COVID and some of the remote recording that we've had to do, I have a whole bank of outtakes from the past year. And very soon in the future, I don't know when, because it's going to take me a long time to put this together, but very soon in the future, we're going to have a Patreon-exclusive episode that's all of the behind-the-scenes goofs and gags.
I want to see that.
Yeah.
This
well,
is gonna
you're
be...
going to have... You can't see it. You have to listen to it, Matt.
I mean, listen to it.
Exciting for Matt and I, because we don't know what's going to be in there. Matt and I are going to listen along with the audience.
I will make sure that all.
Do we have to pay $5 or do we have?
You can log in as a
as an admin.
Okay.
I'll make sure to cut out anything that is too racially charged. So it'll just be the fun stuff.
Hey, boy, speaking
of
which,
was there a lot of that?
No, there was none of that.
Speaking of which, Paul, happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day to you. Matt, and you too, Ian.
Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day to you as well. Oh, Ian, you as well.
Thank you. Had to work, but you know.
Did you get
it's a shame that a black man has to be murdered by the government to get a fucking holiday.
What did you get in your MLK basket when you woke up this morning?
Did you
get lots of chocolate candy?
Just dreams. Yeah, chocolate clouds and dreams and thought balloons.
Chocolate filled with fruit or peanut butter?
That would be a dream, wouldn't it? Fruit.
If you listen to our last episode, we did a long form breakdown of the candy wars, fruit candy versus chocolate candy. If you're listening to this episode and didn't listen to episode 355,
shame on you.
I encourage you to go
stop
back.
Stop right now.
Go back and give it a listen, because you're going to pick a side, and you're going to go in not expecting to be passionate about one candy or another, and then all of a sudden you're going to be buying T-shirts, you're going to be raising banners, you're going to be shedding some poor chocolate's candy blood.
Do we have candy shirts on the
T Public
site?
Not yet. We're still fighting with T Public to allow us to be able to search McSauce once again.
Yeah,
so.
we're in a bit of a tete-a-tete with T Public at the moment, but we will update McSauce Nation as soon as it's been rectified.
Yeah. War is hell, man. They'll drop you right in the middle of the gum jungle, and you'll have to fight for your life. So listen to last week's episode, everybody.
We're here tonight to talk about WandaVision, a show that I think we all warmed up to once we saw more of what it was going to be about, some actual clips. I know personally for me, whenever they first announced a show about Wanda and Vision, I was like, who could fucking possibly care? They were the worst characters in the MCU. Like, I'm pretty sure that's verbatim. We could probably go back to the episode I said that on and pull the audio.
I wish we had an actual producer that could do that and could pull and had the time to pull time-stamped.
Well, if any of you
rants,
kids out there are looking for some unpaid intern work.
Email us at mcsauce@gmail.com, and we'll probably not get that email, but you know. I mean, Paul, you are as hard a critic as it has ever existed. You hate these characters, and I think that you were talking about how you would gleefully cancel your subscription like on the eve of this coming out, just to stick it to the big mouse.
That sounds like something I'd say. I didn't like Wanda or Vision in those movies.
You had said that once we saw kind of what it was going to be about, we started to maybe change our opinion a little bit. I don't think we ever understood what it was going to be about, but at the very least, it looked interesting.
Yeah, yeah, and maybe that's the better way to phrase it. It looked interesting. It looked like it could take on a completely different turn and identity for who these characters were, because it seemed like in the greater Marvel Cinematic Universe, like they were like. I don't know, D-list characters in the greater scheme of,
I think, in the Marvel Universe proper, they're sort of afterthoughts,
right? Which allows you to get a book like, you know,
Tom King's Vision, that's super weird and critically acclaimed, because nobody gives a fuck what you do with Vision,
right? And I would assume no one really gives a fuck what you do with Scarlet Witch either.
Yeah,
I mean, they unceremoniously like killed off her brother in Age of Ultron, and then they kept her around for what purpose?
I like
purpose?
That we're not even going to name her brother. It's just her brother. Scarlet Bro.
Quicksilver? Didn't I say Quicksilver?
No, you just said her brother.
Well, it was Pietro Maximoff, Peter Maximoff.
You know,
Pietro.
Quicksilver would have done too, but you're like, you know, her bro.
Right. Now that he got caught red handed, he's like, well, I'm going to say his real name.
Scarlet handed.
Well.
Oh.
No, don't reward that, Matt. That's a. No, don't reward that. But I don't care. Like, he was so unceremoniously just, you know, killed off in Age of Ultron. Who could even care? The Evan Peters version in the X-Men movies was infinitely used better.
I think that's why they killed him, because they were like, we can't do that.
And they keep wandering around, and Wanda and Vision have this thing, but they're always in the background of the Marvel movies, and I'm like,
now they have a show.
Who
Paul?
Could ever care? Well, Matt, what did you think when the initial announcement came out?
I thought, who could ever care? I
did you really?
Yeah. I thought that up until like 4 o'clock today when I finally got around to watching it.
not surprising.
I had no fire to watch this, no passion whatsoever. I thought the trailer did look interesting, but not interesting enough to compel me to sit down and waste an hour of my time. Now, whenever I pulled up the episodes on Disney Plus, I was like, I was quickly scanning. Where's the time? 29 minutes. Thank Christ. I was so nervous it was going to be an hour each episode. I was so glad to see it was only 30 minutes.
Well, falling into the 30 minutes kind of plays into the TV-centric bend of the show. The show seems like it is a TV show about television, and it's not a TV show in the way that it's a movie that's cut up into 12 different bite-sized bits. These felt like TV episodes. They felt very much in the realm of Bewitched or I Love Lucy or any of those 1950s shows, and it really, I think there's some charm to that it was only half an hour.
The first one was 29 minutes and the second one was 36, which, splitting hairs here, but it's like, shouldn't they all be kind of really tight and like kind of the same length if they're...
Do you say that for WandaVision? Because Mandalorian seemed to go from... You know, 30 minutes to 45 minutes, depending
but these shows,
what story they needed to tell per week.
These shows are following that sort of established structure of, like, classic sitcoms from the 60s and 70s. Was the Brady Bunch 70s? Or was
70s,
it?
Yeah, 1970s. Okay. It would be funny if they actually did the runtime, which would be 15 minutes.
Yeah, right, with commercials, yeah.
So... Matt, you watched it today before you came over. Your initial sort of like going into the show was, who could ever care?
Right. It wasn't like, I guess there was a part of me that was like, this is going to suck.
Ian, would you say Matt was the least excited about the show of the three of us?
I mean, you actively were hating up until the second trailer, so I don't
know. Right, but as we learn more, as the trailers grew... Like, I think you and I were like, oh, this could be some weird-ass Doom Patrol shit. Like, they have license to just go off-script and do whatever the fuck they want with these. But I think Matt was, of the three of us, Matt was the one that was still like, show me where the proof in the pudding is at.
Matt, did you need to be shown pudding?
Yeah.
Did you get pudding?
I don't know.
So, I feel like you should know if you got pudding.
I don't know if I got pudding.
But Matt, I feel the same way. I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure if I got pudding.
Well, Ian, did you...
Did I get pudding?
Did you get pudding?
You know what? I was fucking charmed by the show. It felt really much like what it was striving to be, which is a 1950s sitcom. I legitimately laughed in the first episode when they're doing the back and forth with the dinner and the boss and his wife comes over and they do the Sokovian hello and she's trying to put this dinner together and they're distracting. with Yakety Yak. Like, I thought it was, it's very innocent fun.
Was that,
but it made me laugh.
Was that, that was the first episode.
That was the first
right?
episode.
Right.
The sort of misunderstanding about what was happening. Is it going to be a fuckathon, or is it going to be a dinner party for my boss? You know, like, that's kind of funny. And I liked in the second episode where they have their beds are separate and then they bring their beds together when they hear a noise outside. And it's very innocent, but I think the comedy still hits home. I think that Paul Bettany and Elizabeth Olsen get more time to have chemistry in these two episodes than they did over however many years that they played these characters. And maybe that's just because Wanda and Vision, to me, they're not big-time blockbuster central characters. And that's why they were in the background, because they can't really sustain the weight of movies.
This is going to be the thing with like the Star Wars trilogy and the prequels, where it's like, no, watch A New Hope and Jedi, and then watch Revenge of the Sith. It's going to be like, watch all of the MCU, and then watch WandaVision, and then watch
Infinity War. Yeah.
Because then it's going to fucking matter. Because when Thanos rips that shit out of his forehead, I'm like, good, now go kill Wanda.
Yeah, it makes sense. Like, if you would drop this in right before the Infinity movies, I think that, yeah.
Yeah, but now, like, you know, after watching these two episodes, I'm like, okay, I'm in on these characters. I texted a buddy today. I was like, have I been underappreciating Paul Bettany this entire time?
Pretty fucking like, good at this.
Even his role in Solo. Like, man, like, I think I really like Paul Bettany. I don't think it's because we share a name.
Yeah, sure.
I'm sure that has something to do with it. But yeah, he's really good in this. And I wasn't crazy about these first two episodes. I thought the novelty of, oh man, they really did their homework to recreate a Dick Van Dyke era sitcom. Wow, they really put in the work. That novelty wore off like 15 minutes into the first episode, and I was like, all right, Now do Marvel stuff. And then we got another episode and a half of what I found incredibly boring old ass sitcom shit.
See, I think that the comedic bits still hit for me. I thought it was still funny when they were doing the talent show for the children. I haven't seen any children. Talent show for the children. And he shows up and his gears are all jacked up because he ate some food. And so he's essentially drunk. And how Wanda is manufacturing or like trying to show that they aren't actually magicians. I thought that stuff was really funny. I don't know, man. It made me laugh the whole time. Maybe I'm just an innocent little 1950s guy.
I didn't think any of it was... I thought a lot of it was charming because I'm from the Nick at Night generation and I watched a lot of My Three Sons and, you know, Bewitched and Dick Van Dyke and all of those shows. And I love the attention to detail, how, you know, she's washing dishes and getting the kitchen together and like all of the dishes and everything looks like it's just moving around the kitchen on fishing string. Like they would have done back then, like that kind of attention to detail in the like goofy husband and the misunderstanding wife and like all that stuff. Like they really put the episodes together, but I wanted more nods to something isn't quite right here. And
but
we
I
got
think that's
some
the
of them.
Slow burn of the show. Like that's the point of it taking some time. For you to kind of get, like, everything's idyllic and it's all perfect. And as the decades churn along, I think we're going to get some more chaos.
Yeah, I think so, too. And if, I will watch a show through its initial season. Even if the first two episodes are like, eh, those were fine. I will at least see it out. But, like, it, I don't know, like, I wasn't really sucked in by these first two episodes, but if it's MCU stuff, they have a track record with me, I expect they're gonna blow this out the further it goes on. But, man, give me some more weird stuff.
Like, what did you want?
Matt, what did you want?
I don't know. There was nothing in particular, but I think I liked it better than you did, Paul. Ian, I wouldn't say I found it funny, but like Paul said, I did think it was pretty charming, and I liked it. There was something like sort of like kind of familiar and comfortable about it. Although it did have a couple of those more intense moments, like when his boss choked at the dinner table and his boss's wife kept like repeating the same
That's
thing over.
That's the kind of weirdness I'm in for.
And yeah, and I mean, there was
let it build, like,
right,
that's why it's a TV.
It's like you're watching it and I'm like, what's wrong with this woman? Why is she like, it was creepy. It,
yeah,
like it all of a sudden it took this picturesque 1950s like perfection and then it like put a really unsettling, creepy like 30 seconds in there, and then it was back to normal. And the second episode had something like that too, and the beekeeper kind of came out of the manhole. And also the I forget what her name is, the you know, the annoying neighbor.
Catherine Hahn,
the woman that's married to Ralph, who, by the way, we haven't seen Ralph yet.
We don't know who Ralph is. Yeah,
I'm thinking Ralph might not be
real,
a good guy or real or something's up with Ralph. Let's just put it that way.
I think a lot of this universe is not real.
Right.
Catherine Hahn is, well, Agatha, I think is the character's name, or Agnes something. Catherine Hahn.
Yeah, I think Agnes, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what's going on here the whole time. Like, wait a minute. Vision died, right? Like, he didn't. Because, you know, they brought everybody back that died, but he didn't come back. He stayed dead. And that was the last time we saw Vision.
Yeah, because Vision didn't die in the snap. Vision,
right,
died beforehand.
Died.
Yeah.
Right.
As much as
that.
And
I love that we
can't
bring him back because he didn't die from the snap. Like, we have the Infinity Gauntlet. We can do anything we want, but we're going to put this rule in place. Only those that died from the snap.
Well, do we know for sure that he didn't come back?
We don't. Maybe he came back, I don't know, in like a 1950s TV show.
Well, like, so the prevailing rumor is Catherine Hahn is Agatha Harkness, who is a Hellfire Club witch.
Sounds correct.
And if, not if, Wanda in the regular Marvel Comics universe is a mutant. She's not just some experiment by Nazis or the Hydra or whoever, whatever happened to her in the MCU. So that's another tie into bringing the Fox mutants into the Disney Marvel universe. So, like, I mean, there's so many.
In the comics, what Scarlet Witch does is has a mental breakdown because she is made aware that she's created big parts of her life. She has, through her chaos magic, just made her children, made her life. And upon this realization, she wishes, you know, she wishes mutants away, which would in a way wish herself away, right? I think that sort of an inverse is going to happen here, where she has some kind of break with reality or regains her take on reality, and that is how we bring in all these different either dimensions. I guess it's going to be dimensions with the Doctor Strange movie, which we have a bunch of different heroes from Marvel, Netflix TV, the different Spider-Man universes. We're going to bring those people in, and that's going to be an easy gateway to bring in the X-Men and mutant kind and all of that stuff. So I think she's going to be pretty important going forward, and if we're using the comics as basis of that.
Yeah, that's just sounds like a nightmare to me. It's creating a much more confusing universe that, as it rolls along, I feel like I will be so confused that I'll just check out.
I keep seeing that.
I don't know how you've read comic books for so long, Matt. Like, this is just standard comic book stuff, man.
Look at my collection. It doesn't really include a lot of this kind of stuff. Like, I've never really been drawn to it.
Ian, I've never been a multi-dimensional fan.
Yeah, but just comics in general have
I understand.
Retcons and new characters and back from the dead. And
like,
I went to a different dimension. I'm actually an alien. I'm actually a mutant.
What's my all-time favorite comic book?
Savage Dragon.
Savage Dragon, once they got to issue number 75, did this big shake-up in number 76 called This Savage World, where Eric Larson wanted to create like a very throwback style, like, comic book storytelling, and the whole thing changed and he was in a new dimension, and I hated it, and honestly
I haven't read a book since.
Ever since then, it's never been as good as it was before that.
Haven't read, period.
Mm-hmm. Never.
I only look at symbols now.
Yeah, don't only Instagram,
but,
with Matt,
but that kind of
them.
Stuff like I just don't like. I never have and I never will. It's not my thing.
I've
experienced enough of a sample size to confidently say I don't like that shit. I find it very uninteresting, and I find it to be a cop out when you start removing the ability to have consequences and things like that. When you can retcon things with different dimensions, I find that so uninteresting.
Or you can bring in layers of different storytelling that make a more fleshed out story and world and bring a different perspective to characters.
So
that's how I view it.
I know this really has nothing to do with WandaVision, but a couple days ago I watched Venom and I liked it. And I think
we traveled to a dimension where Paul is even dumber than he is in the normal 616.
Ian, that's offensive. Just because I find a way to generate positivity from a movie doesn't mean I'm stupid.
This is a different dimension.
So, like, I like Venom. I thought it was fun. Like, I thought Tom Hardy was good. I thought the weird him and the symbiote talking were
you
was,
tweeted
like,
that out, and I was
charming.
Like, my friend just got hacked.
Yeah, I think part of it was like I think part of it is what I may start calling the Last Jedi effect, where like after that movie I was like I look back at my just violent rage after I watched The Last Jedi and I'm like, why the fuck would I ever act like that about anything except my child dying?
Yeah.
So like I'm like, yeah, Venom was fun. Jenny Slate is gorgeous for the short amount of time she's in it. Tom Hardy's great in that movie, and it's just kind of like it's fun. The movie, the plot, it's pretty simple.
It moves along like a turd in the wind.
But it all holds together. A turd in the wind may not be great dialogue, but I kind of liked it. But that's gonna be folded into all of this at some point.
But it's also
you'd expect
a character in a general universe that you don't care about. So that is probably that has more to play with it than. Say, I don't know, whenever
but
they do the Suicide
the
Squad.
Flash
yeah,
is
but,
here,
but
or
but,
the Flash that you've been raging against.
Oh,
for
yeah, that's going to be
five
a
years.
Straight up turd in the wind.
I like it, right. To your point, Ian, like you
but
can
Matt,
do whatever you want
give a
with
shit
Venom.
About, like Wanda or Vision?
Well, no, I don't. But I will say this. I think those characters are more interesting and much better than the treatment that they got in the movies to this point. I think it's not their fault that, you know, the storyline that they were given stupid. I don't think they're lame characters per se. Like Wanda should be one of the most interesting characters with that kind of like power set, I think. I do wish there was a cooler way for Elizabeth Olsen to kind of act with, like, when she is using her powers, the way that she just sort of wiggles her hands around and like...
It's called a chaos wiggle.
I guess it's the old... It's the classic chaos wggle.
It is the classic.
And I think...
I can hear the announcers now. Oh, she's doing it. The classic chaos
oh,
wiggle.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Not the classic chaos wiggle.
Matt, that's been her signature move since 1969.
Matt just turned into Gorilla Monsoon.
I was channeling him. Yeah. Thank you. So I think...
Is that her finisher?
In my opinion...
From the top rope, the chaos wiggle.
Both of these actors, I thought, did a really good job of... kind of bringing a lot more out of these characters than we've gotten from the movies, which I feel like is more of an indictment for the people that made the movies. I know they were busy. There was a lot going on, but something tells me these two actors are some of the best that they had, and they gave them kind of shitty stuff to do because I think they were really good in this, and especially Elizabeth Olsen, I feel like she was oozing with charisma, and it kind of reminded me of Gal Gadot, because I feel like she has tons of charisma as Wonder Woman. She's like the only thing that carried that movie, the second one.
Chris Pine, come on.
Oh yeah, I forgot he was in that.
So good
you
they had to bring him back in a
trash person.
In another person's body.
Yeah, you...
That's bad writing. That's not lack of charisma on Chris Pine's part.
Right. It's the same thing that makes Joss Whedon guilty for not making these characters better in the movies, right?
It's a shame also that the chaos magic, what Wanda can do, and how powerful that is.
But we don't know.
We don't know because they never explained it. So that's right. Bad writing, Paul. I wish that they would have explained that before they were like, hey, we're going to do this whole series. And guess what? She can change reality. That should have been something that they
It seems like when you first meet her, like she's like manipulating Tony Stark's mind in Age of Ultron. And like she's doing all this really like weird, you know, creepy, why can't I think of the word? Like, it's not intrinsic.
She makes him have, waking hallucinations.
Yeah,
but that's the only
invading,
time.
She's invading his mind, like, she's doing all this stuff. And then after that, it's just like, oh, red blasts from my hands. I'm just shooting red stuff from my
hands.
What
was it again? The
classic
wiggle? Or,
classic
chaos wiggle. Chaos wiggle.
But that can't be the chaos wiggle because that's standard. That's just like armbar off the middle rope, whatever wrestling people call that shit.
Oh my God. Half of our audience is wrestling.
That's the flying
people.
Elbow.
You know what?
At me.
Come
at me,
get
wrestling
come
listeners.
Get
at me, you pieces of shit. But yeah, like, but. She does all this weird stuff when we first meet her.
I have a wrestling question real quick.
Yeah.
Speaking of wrestling moves, you guys have heard of the DDT.
Oh, yeah.
What does that stand for?
Diamond Dallas Top.
well, Ian, if it picked up, Diamond Dallas Top, he said. The DDT, is DDT a wrestling thing? Because DDP... is Diamond Dallas Page.
No,
DDT.
Okay, do you remember the wrestler? Yeah, do you remember the wrestler Jake the Snake Roberts?
Yeah.
So Jake the Snake Roberts had a finishing move called the DDT. And it was sort of like where somebody would sort of bend over at 90 degrees in front of him, and he would put them in a headlock, and then he would fall backwards.
Okay.
And the guy's head, I think that's a DDT.
Essentially smash their skull.
Right.
On the
it's
mat.
Also, not to be confused with the classic skull smash.
Is that another wrestling move?
No, but I mean, it sounds like a DDT.
So,
what does DDT mean? Death? Destruction?
Mixos wrestling fans, let us know what Jake the Snake's DDT.
Well, other wrestlers did the DDT, but I feel like he was the one that made that his signature finishing move.
I think Matt just sealed. He just sealed his fate as the wrestling connoisseur of the three of us.
I mean, that might be, but I think I'm pretty far away from being any kind of expert.
Well, but of me, you, and Ian, yeah. If you have a better idea of what Jake thinks DDT stands for, yeah, Ian doesn't know.
Anyway, sorry to derail.
So did anyone put the DDT on anyone in WandaVision?
No, I didn't see that.
I have a question about WandaVision.
Go ahead.
So apparently, Monica Rambeau is in the second episode of WandaVision. She is the young girl that
Daughter.
That Captain Marvel gives the jacket to, and they change the colors of Captain Marvel's jacket or whatever in the end of Captain Marvel. And this is her as an adult, but she's in Wanda's vision at that tea party, the pool party or whatever.
As an older woman.
As an adult. What is the connection between Wanda and Monica Rambeau? Because they seem, from what we know from the MCU, they seem to have completely different career paths. Like, why would they ever come across each other?
Well, Monica Rambeau is an agent of S.W.O.R.D., which is another one of those secret ops kind of sneaky guys like AIM or Hydra. So I'm sure that that has something to do with it. S.W.O.R.D. is the sort of like a
Space Force
guys.
Yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s, yeah. S.H.I.E.L.D.'s Earth, S.W.O.R.D. Space.
Yep, so that's probably why. Maybe they got...
Some hot Marvel character with green hair was running S.W.O.R.D. Mm-hmm. for a little bit.
I forget what that character's name was. She was pretty...
Maria Hill in space is what I call her.
That's true. That was her name. She was in Astonishing... In Joss Whedon's Astonishing X-Men run.
What did you guys think of the fake commercials?
I really like those, dude. I thought those were kind of cool.
Yeah, I did too. And the more I'm thinking about it, like the whole time I'm trying to figure shit out, and there's a part of me, actually the main part of me, is thinking, I don't think I want an explanation for any of this. And I know we're going to get it.
Yeah.
And I think I wish the show was exactly this, where it was that throwback for 12 episodes or whatever they end up doing, with maybe one or two weird things that go on in the show. And I don't need an explanation. I think the unexplained makes it interesting. And I know when they explain it, I'm going to be...
You're going to be out.
So let down. So I listened to the WandaVision Fat Man Beyond today, the Kevin Smith podcast, and they dig into their comment section. And, like, I mean, nerds are on this stuff. They're all over it. And apparently both of those commercials have some negative psychological connection to Wanda, because the second commercial is like a Strucker
watch. It's Strucker. It's Baron Strucker.
Yeah, and it tortured her.
Yeah, and it has Hydra on the watch.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I forget what the first commercial was.
It's Stark Industries toaster.
Toaster, and whenever they put the toast in, it's the same sound effect as Iron Man's blasters.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as that happened, I was sitting on my couch. I pushed my glasses up on my face, and I said, hey, Tracy, did you know?
Yeah, like, I was listening to all the, that's just two, and I feel like those two examples are kind of sort of towards the front, but, like, there's so much stuff built into the dialogue that fans are just, like, pulling out. I'm like, yeah, I guess all this stuff could be real. But you can make all of, as many of these connections plausible as you want. But, like, if I'm not infinitely entertained by this, like just, I want it to be entertaining.
I don't know what you're looking for, though, man.
It was. And I don't want to sound like I'm disparaging the first two episodes of the show, because there's enough there's enough undercurrent of this, like, ooh, shit's weird, but, man, I thought we were going to get more weird stuff, but it's like these first two episodes, they may as well have just been two Bewitched episodes. Like, especially, like, the first one where the boss is choking, that was fucked up. And then the second one, like, oh, a fucking beekeeper comes out of the sewer. What the fuck does that mean?
Yeah,
she finds an Iron Man.
That's weird. That's the whole point. We don't fucking know.
Yeah,
what
but
that
it
is.
Wasn't. Yeah, but
and then she's like, and then she has enough like presence of mind to be like, yeah, no, and rewinds all of reality. That's weird.
Yeah, like the more I think about it, I don't want you to explain this. You're gonna ruin it.
You think, Matt, it's all going to come out. We're going to get...
Oh, yeah, and I also think that this was the last episode that's going to feel like a 19... like, early 60s show, like, Bewitched or whatever.
We're going to get, like, Mary Tyler Moore next.
No, we're going to get Brady Bunch next.
Brady Bunch, okay.
Are you sure?
Yeah, and then we're going to... Yeah, because this was 50s, 60s, 70s will be next.
I thought this was 50s. Then we're going to get 60s, and then we're going to get 70s.
I don't know, but okay. I like where we are
Mary
with this.
Tyler Moore
more...
wasn't 70s.
Yeah, right, that's my point. We're
right.
going to get 60s. Where,
Bewitched was 60s. If we're doing decades, episode
wasn't
3 should
wasn't
be...
Wasn't it early 50s?
Bewitched? I don't think so.
No.
Yeah. When was it?
64.
I don't know, Paul. I think that if they leave this like kind of the idyllic decade of the 50s or the early 60s, then it's going to lose some of that charm, which was mostly what was resonating with me the most. And I loved that juxtaposed against little beats of weirdness. And as things get explained, because like at the end you see somebody that's in control of this TV show or whatever, is that MODOK or whatever that's sort of,
I would hope not,
behind this?
Oh no, there's MODOK. No, there's a,
at the end of both episodes,
the DC universe, there is a like galactic Comcast character. I can't think of who it is. I'm sure
Steve Jobs
listeners are losing their minds because
they
can't think of who this is. No, but it's
a
real,
they,
it's a
they,
real thing. It's a galactic thing.
They wield the Xfinity gauntlet.
Oh.
Yes. You can get shitty fucking internet that way. But all the sports you want.
With data caps.
Data caps.
Or is it data?
Data, vision.
What do you say, Paul?
Stereo.
Yeah, don't
who
ask
could that. Ever know?
Is it data or data?
It's data.
It's data
because it was data in Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Okay, is it
data.
Is it werewolves or werewolves?
Was it an American werewolf in London? I don't
know.
Who could ever fucking know
who could
how
ever
to pronounce
care?
A word? the Xfinity. Perfect, Matt. I love it. I don't know. So you're thinking that as we progress through and we get into decades that we're more familiar with, that the... See, I thought you would be a sucker for the coming 1980s episodes, I'm sure, that are going to be coming out. Because you love the 80s.
It might be cool, but I think I'm mostly enjoying the randomness and the weirdness and the bizarre juxtaposition of what this is so far. And I wish that they would have kept it in color or in black and white. Adding color kind of removes some of that nostalgic kind of quality.
Because it's the color that they added, it looks like crisp HD. You know what I mean? Like, whenever they added the color, I wish it was shitty. I wish it was Technicolor or
Technovision
or whatever.
And that was one of the things that I actually liked was, am I wrong, Ian? But the picture quality wasn't that great when it was in black and white.
It looked a little weird.
Yeah,
a
like
little
it,
bit.
I mean, it was better than it probably looked on your boob tube TV, but it certainly isn't 4K. I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it
yeah,
has
I know
a weird
my
quality.
Eyes are getting worse every day. I will say that, but I don't think they're getting that much worse.
So you also didn't like when I think at the end of both episodes there was somebody that at like as they zoom out and we could see it's a
no,
TV. It was somebody saying like, "Who did this to you, Wanda?" Or
something
like that.
Right, something like that. You know what? Go ahead, put that in. Explain it somewhere else. I think I like this just for what it is, and let it just be that.
Yeah,
I know they're not going to do it. Just like every property, things get overexplained, and nobody has figured out, or it doesn't matter because there's no money in mystery. You can't make the money if you don't have the big reveal episodes or comic books or movies that explains everything.
Well, I guess then what we need to do right now, because the show is a mystery box and there's so many Easter eggs and little nuggets here
but
and
that's
there,
the thing.
We should enjoy what we're going through right now. The week by week nature of this also, maybe that'll keep the mystery going on, kind of like a True Detective or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. I will say that I think that the week to week nature of this show is going to suit it well. Whereas I think like a show like Mandalorian, for example, could have been a season dump. It's interesting how some things can work better, you know, depending on kind of the structure of the storytelling. But
I've really come around to the week by week unpacking of an episode, the speculation that goes into it, the theories and talking with your friends.
What do you mean you've come around to it? You've been on board for a week to week since they started doing season dumps. You've always been a fan of releasing an episode a week.
I've come around to it.
What do you mean you've come around to it?
I've come around to it.
You've come around to
it.
You're more fervent in this argument than you've ever been.
Somewhere around July 12th, 1980, I was like, you know what?
I'm so glad they didn't, ABC didn't drop this whole season of Roseanne.
I had to sit here and wait for Dick Van Dyke week to week. They dropped all of the Mary Tyler Moore
show. I had
to
wait to know if Dan Connor was going to bowl that spare.
You know, I blazed through 22 episodes of Family Ties. It was fine. No, I mean, come around to as in, like, I know for sure that this is the way that I prefer it. Is that fair?
For everything.
Yeah, I think everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, Matt, yeah. I think...
Well,
I think
that is true. Look, like, Cobra Kai, we could have had it watched within 5 minutes,
but watch
Ian's
it week
gonna
to week.
Spread it out over the next 2 or 3 years. I get that.
I've come around to watching everything that I watch. You know what? Don't spoil the end of the Steelers game for me, because I'm gonna watch it next Sunday.
I
watch it quarter by quarter.
I think
you don't want that whole game all at once.
No,
I
who
think
fucking
full,
does that?
Who even wants that game at all?
Who would watch it that way?
I think the full season dump of The Mandalorian would have fucked up viewing for a lot of people.
Could you imagine the lightsaber furor?
If you finish one episode of The Mandalorian and then you're seeing, oh, Luke Skywalker is the hero at the end of the season, that's going to ruin that whole season for billions of people. Like, no, this season of Mandalorian needed broken down.
Billions of people.
Billions.
I was doing the math in my head.
Billions of people.
How many people are on Earth?
I'm sorry. Did I underestimate? Trillions of people.
Much better.
It would have fucked up the entire flow of that season. And I think with WandaVision, I do like the slow build.
Even though you don't like the show at all.
I've come off a little negative for these first two episodes.
So unlike you.
I want some fucking shit to happen, and you guys bust my fucking balls.
What do you?
I don't remember ever busting
your
balls. When did I bust your balls?
What happened?
You guys,
what is it?
Matt, this is episode.
I want the Xfinity War, motherfuckers.
This is episode 356. You bust my balls all the time.
Because you're an asshole, and we are righteous in our ball busting.
You bust my balls all the time for being hate and see. But
now you're seeing hate.
But no, I'm all up on Hate and See. I'll claim that as my own. Hate and See TM Paul McGinney Enterprises. But if it's, but you guys are like, oh, he hates it right out of the gate, and then he never likes it. He always hates it. But like I think the easiest one of the three of us to be swayed into, oh yeah, I hated that immediately, but it was pretty good. Like, I think you guys are more like locked into your roots of, yeah, I can't go back on what I said about this.
Well, I don't know. We haven't given our reviews yet. Once we do that, then we'll know if that's true.
Oh, just about these first two episodes of WandaVision. Yeah. That tells the story of 350 plus episodes.
Hey man,
of podcasting and media in total.
Hey, smartass, get the producer to pull clips.
Do it. Do it.
You
get
do someone
it.
To you
do
get
it.
Him to do it.
Get
you
someone
get the
to
fictional
do it.
Producer to do it.
Ian, I swear to fucking God, you'll be so upset if someone actually
whatever
did that.
Whatever, I'm right.
You'd be like,
darn it. Paul's an ass.
Ian, that's the problem. You'd be like, oh man, like Paul really does recant his statements when he actually likes something.
Paul McGinty, fair and honest.
That's the fucking truth. But you guys like to create your own narratives.
Like we're WandaVision. We're creating a world where Paul is just a mean old hater.
Name one thing that I hated it when I only knew like the title or the first trailer, and then I hated it consistently when it was good.
You didn't like the Solo movie. You hated that.
Solo's fine. Solo's okay. Oh,
okay. All right, you're right. You're totally right.
Keep going.
No, this isn't entertaining for me to sit here and
right, because,
rattle things
because
off
you're
like
not,
that.
Because you're not right. Because you know if I actually like something, I'll admit to liking it after hating and seeing.
I don't have to sit here and defend it. McSauce listeners, you hear what he's saying. Hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the places. You guys have, I know exact people that listen that have a better memory than the three of us. Pick out what Paul is saying. Am I right or is Paul right?
I fucking dare you, listeners.
I can't wait to see this happen.
I fucking dare you. Because they're going to be like, well, you didn't like Solo at first. And then I'm going to be like, yeah, but it's kind of cool now. Oh, well, yeah, I guess that's right. That's what's going to happen.
That's what Ian just did.
Yeah, exactly.
But also Paul was like, I can also, in the moment, change my opinion of it. See how that worked?
This is the problem with not having an intern to do these episodes.
A producer.
This is the problem to settle arguments.
This is the problem with not having an intern, because I've said for years now that Solo's fine. It's perfectly acceptable.
That is what you said. So, why don't we wrap up here today? Do we have some grades that we want to give WandaVision? Some outgoing thoughts about WandaVision? Paul, why don't you give yours?
C, perfectly passable. I need more than recreating 50s and 60s television.
You gave it a letter grade?
A 7.
Why did you give it a letter grade all of a sudden? We never do letter grades.
Paul's mind is an iron trap, and he remembers everything.
All of a sudden.
Even the foundational basics of the stuff that we do.
356 episodes, we always do numbers! Give it a grade, Paul. Oh, see?
And Paul was like, I don't know, broccoli.
Well, it's a C. A C then.
Would you look? Would you?
Seven.
What is wrong with
seven.
You? What the fuck is wrong with you?
McSauce Station, you don't have to pull those clips. He just did it for you. Matt, what do you think?
Milk duds. That's my.
So, like, sticky, it, like, stuck to your mental teeth and glued them together in a way that's distasteful but still yummy.
Yeah, I think that just sums it all up. Ian, what do you give it?
I give it a gargle floof.
What was the political thing we were talking about before?
No, we don't.
The fizzy wig? The Fezziwig?
Yeah, I give it a Fezziwig.
Is the Gargafloof higher or lower than the Fezziwig?
It's Gargafloof way higher. I enjoyed it. I thought it was, again, it made me laugh. Maybe I'm a fucking Ruby Dooby and don't have any kind of comedic chops, but it was funny. I liked it. I like where it's going. I like the mystery that we're trying to unpack here after two episodes. I'm going deep in and like, oh, I know what's on that watch and what's that symbol here. So I'm excited to see more of it. Can't wait for next Friday night.
I like the week to week a lot. I think mm-hmm. this is a series that a lot of puzzle, a lot of mystery. Week to week is the way to go with the show. That's going to do it for us tonight. My name is Gargafloof McGinty.
Fizzy Wig Sharply.
And Bloopily Blue Casal.
We'll see you next time.